I just wanted to share this morning on a little thought that came to me from the scriptures in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 12. If we could turn there this morning. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 12. And that verse says, "Turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto you." And that thought was really quickened to me, that turn unto me, you prisoners of hope. And what a remarkable thought, you know, to be a prisoner of hope, you know, of that wonderful hope that we can have in the Lord. But yet at the same time, it's balanced, you know, which is, I think, is kind of interesting. You have something very positive in hope, but then you also have this negative idea of being a prisoner. And how does that work? You know, why is the Lord calling us to be prisoners of hope? And I wanted to just look at that thought together this morning, because we realize there's a purpose, you know, in having this duality of something negative and something positive. You know, and even in nature we can see this. I didn't get good grades in chemistry in high school, but I enjoy, it's funny, after high school I enjoyed it more than during high school, but you know, you can study atoms and you realize that they're made up of positive and negative particles. And it's not the positive and positive that are drawn together, it's the positive and negative that are drawn together. And, you know, the protons and electrons, and even atoms can be positively and negatively charged. And the difference in that charge forms different elements. And so you can see this idea of how the positive and the negative work together to form the things that are tangible in this world. And so as it is in the natural, we can see it in the kingdom of God, is that there's this thought we can have hope in God. We have this wonderful hope that we'll look at that's an anchor to our soul, but yet it's an anchor for our soul because we're going through something, because we're a prisoner sometimes, you know, through a season where we're a prisoner of hope. Now, hope, we realize that we're talking about something very important. You know, we know faith is important, right? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, and as it says in Hebrews 11. But in that list of the three greatest things in the Christian life, faith, hope, and love, well, we know that love is the greatest. But if we're looking at that as a list of order, hope comes after that. So hope is something that is so important for us to have established in our lives. You know, it's wonderful when we go by faith, and we're called to do that. We're called to hear from the Lord and to have His word, His faith as a substance in our hearts. You know, and that substance produces the miracle, as we've talked about in the past. You know, His word produces the miracle in us. But hope is a little different. You know, it's not described as having a substance in our heart, because God hasn't given us a word. We don't have something in the sense that He's given us a word or a promise of victory in a specific situation. And when we don't have faith, what do we have? We fall back on our hope. Our hope in God and who He is. You know, we don't have a word. We don't have, or sometimes we can even have a word, but it's so general, right? Have you ever God given you a promise, but it's so far down the road, it's like, how in the world am I going to get there? When you're in this step and the next step, and that word, how does it apply to this situation? We don't know. We're just hoping that God's going to work it out and He's going to fulfill it. And so we have to hope. And so we hope in God's mercy, in His goodness, in His plan for our lives, and we hold on to that hope. And sometimes we become a prisoner of hope, because we're just walking down a narrow pathway. You know, if we're following the end game that God is calling us to, then it's a narrow pathway. Now, if we're on our own, right, we have all the pathways before us, and we can choose the one that looks best for us, right? And it's not necessarily a prison experience, because we can go wherever we want to. But when we're following God and we're seeking that promise, we're seeking to please Him, there are seasons where we're a prisoner of hope because we're walking in that pathway until we obtain the promise. Now, before we look at placing our hope in God and continuing in that to obtain the promise, I want to consider the negative aspect to this, because there's an aspect of hope where, you know, we can have true hope, but if there's true, then that means there's a false. You know, there's false hope. And we want to consider that because we all have our hopes and expectations, right? We all have our hopes and dreams that we grow up with. You know, maybe we grew up saying, oh, I want to be a fireman or an astronaut or a doctor or what. You know, we all have things that, oh, hey, I'd like to do that, you know. But, of course, sometimes those things pass as we grow up and we realize, no, that's what I want to do. Or, you know, that it kind of matures. But, you know, even in our natural life, sometimes we can have hope that develops that's not necessarily flowing with what God has for us. You know, we can have expectations that we have placed in our lives that maybe they're not the best because they won't fulfill what God has for us. And so we can have a false hope. You know, sometimes we can hope for something, but it's like following the end of a rainbow, right? You know why the leprechauns are at the end of the rainbow and the pot of gold? It's because you can never get there, right? You know, you can drive, you can see a rainbow and you can drive as fast as you can towards it, but it'll always change because it's based on our perspective, on where we are. It will always be off in the distance. And that's like false hope. You know, are our expectations of things that we long for that we've just developed on our own, but God hasn't placed in our hearts, you know, and there will always be disappointment. False hope, the end result of false hope is always disappointment. And that's why we want to search our hearts and say, Lord, cause my expectations to be right. And, you know, we've realized, you know, just over the years, and we see situations in relationships that people have had, you know, especially in marriage, a lot of strife and difficulty can take place because each person is placing expectations on the other. Like they expect them to be a certain way or relate a certain way to them. And when they don't, when they find out, oh, they're not going to relate to me like I was hoping and dreaming for, and there's disappointment there. And, you know, true fulfillment comes when we have right expectations, when we realize how we need to relate to each other, and we start to place godly expectations upon ourselves of what should be taking place in our hearts and in the hearts of other people. That's where the joy and satisfaction can come, when we have right expectations, a right hope, you could say. But this idea of false hope, it can lead us down a wrong path. And I was just considering the example of the prodigal son in Luke 15. You know, we see a picture of a young man. He grew up in a godly household. You know, he had wonderful training, wonderful examples in his father. You know, and even his brother was a good example. He was faithful. But we see something developed in the heart of this son, that where he had certain hopes and dreams in life and desires, but they couldn't be fulfilled at home because they were not right. Right? He developed some wrong expectations, a false hope of what he wanted to obtain in life. And instead of looking at what he had and where he was, he looked for that rainbow, right? Hoping that he would be fulfilled in his hopes and expectations. And he went out into the world and he sought that. And he followed his hopes and dreams, but we know how the story turned out, right? He became a prisoner to that hope, but not in a good way. Right? He became a prisoner to his wrong expectations. And in the end, he was in poverty. He had no friends. He had no family. But then he let that hope kind of fade away. It dissipated. And a new thought came of what he had before he left. You know, and he allowed a new hope to come, that he might be allowed back into his father's house. not as a son, but even as a servant. He didn't even dare to hope that he could be a son again. He said, even if I can just be a servant, because, you know, that false hope had done so much, and he had lost so much because of it. You know, that false hope almost destroyed him. But thankfully, he had a father who restored him in that situation. And so, you know, we want to be careful of that our hopes and our expectations in life, in relationships, that they flow with God. And I remember a message that Pastor Bailey shared once, and it's one I have not forgotten, because it was so unique, because he was just sharing about this thought of hope, that we all want to have hope in God. But this is what he said. He said that our hope must be based on reality. Hope must be based on reality. Right? Because sometimes we get grand ideas of what we would like the Lord to do through us and in us, and you know, we can start to dream and say, oh Lord, you should do this and you should do that. And we can start to place that expectation and hope in our hearts. But we have to be careful. We have to make sure that hope flows with God and His plans. Because that kind of hope can be disappointing when it doesn't come true or isn't fulfilled. In Proverbs 13 and verse 12, it says, hope that is deferred makes the heart sick. Proverbs 13:12. Hope that is deferred, hope that doesn't come true. Or you could put in there that false hope that we follow to the end, and when we don't find the end of the rainbow, our heart becomes discouraged. Our heart just wants to give up. And maybe we've been there in certain situations in life because we followed that rainbow and we got discouraged, and you know, we just wanted to give up because of that. But yet, when we exchange that hope and we hope in the Lord, look at the second part. But when the desire comes, when hope is fulfilled, when we hope in God and we follow that to the end, it's a tree of life. You know, when we place our hope in God, it's a tree of life. Now, that phrase is kind of hard for us to relate to in our culture and even in our environment. But in the desert climate of Israel, when you had a fruit-bearing tree, it was like having a bank account. It would sustain you, you know, in famine. It would feed you in the harvest. You know, it would, and sometimes for generations, that was your inheritance, you know, because those olive groves, some of those olive trees are 1,000 years old. They're passed down from generation to generation. And, you know, when you have that tree of life, it's everything to you. And so that's the idea of the result of hope, is that God wants to place His hope in our lives and that develop that hope in us so we can hope in Him, and that hope will not disappoint us. Or as it says in Romans 5, we will not be ashamed when we hope in God. It will be a tree of life when we place our hope in Him. Now, I just want to consider this hope also in Hebrews 6. If we can turn there, I'll read a couple of verses in Hebrews 6 and verse 18. And it says here in Hebrews 6:18, it says that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Now, I've always, you know, sometimes you read the first phrase, by two immutable things. Well, in the verse previous, it talks about two things. It talks about a promise and an oath to our father Abraham. But of course, if it's to father Abraham, it's to us as well. And so he made a promise and an oath. And because of his many promises that God gave to us, and he does not lie, we can hope in him. And, you know, his promises, I will bless you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and many other promises in the Word of God. And really what these do is these are showing us what God is like, that he's faithful, that he's merciful, that he's, you know, full of goodness and truth, and that we can He is worthy to hope in, for us to place our hope in Him, you know, because His mercy, His goodness, His compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. And so we can have strong consolation. And it goes on in verse 19. It says, which hope we have as an anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters in to that within the veil. You know, as we set our hope in God to bring us through our difficulties, to fulfill the promises, it becomes an anchor for our soul. It brings our soul, it brings stability in the storms. It keeps us from being greatly moved. We might be moved around a little bit like a ship in the storm, but when it sets out its anchors, you know, it's kept in a relative position. The waves toss it up and down a little bit, but it's kept. It's not greatly moved out of the way. And then that phrase at the end, notice it says, which enters within the veil. You know, what can help us enter into His presence? It's when we have a heart filled with hope. As we hope in His promises, as we hope in His character, and we're trusting in who He is, that He's good and He'll never leave us or forsake us. And He sees that heart within us. You know, it causes us to come into His presence. It opens the way for His presence. But, you know, sometimes we go through the season where we're prisoners of hope. And we realize hope is a hard thing because, you know, faith is that substance you have in your heart. You know you have it. But hope is invisible. Hope is something we can't see, we can't touch, we can't feel it. We don't have assurance. We just hope. We're hoping in God. And in Romans 8, in verse 24, Paul talks about hope. And he says, we're saved by hope, but that hope that is seen is not hope. Right? If we can see hope, then it's not hope. Hope is only something we can't see, we can't touch. For what a man sees, what does he hope for it? You know, we're following something we can't see with our eyes. We don't know how to produce it. We don't know how to arrive at the place where it will be fulfilled. And so we continue on that path, just holding on. You know, as was said earlier in Hebrews 6, that we lay hold upon the hope set before us. We lay hold. And, you know, there's that thought about laying hold upon hope, kind of like a little cord before us. In fact, the word in Hebrew for hope, one of the words, is cord. And when you read about the story of Rahab, how she hung a scarlet cord or a line on her balcony for Israel to see that, hey, that's where her house is, it's the same word as hope. And so her hope as she was tying that cord there was that her family would be saved. And so, you know, we lay hold upon that little cord there. Sometimes it's just a thread of hope that we lay hold upon it. And, you know, in a situation that can look the opposite, it can look dire. You know, it can look like we don't have hope. But yet, as it says of Abraham, he set his hope in God, and he believed even when, you know, he hoped against hope. When there was no hope in the natural, there was in the spirit, because he believed in the Lord and trusted in Him. You know, sometimes we're that prisoner of hope because we're just holding on to that cord and just trusting in what God has spoken to us, or is the way He's directed us, even in who He is. And that's all we have. We don't have a word. And we can see that in examples in Scripture. You know, you think of Job. You know, we know the trial that he went through in the natural was very difficult. He lost all his possessions. He lost his family. He lost his place in society. He lost his friends because his friends turned on him and said, Job, your trial is so bad, you must have done something wrong. Right? Good friends. And so he lost everything. But you know, when you consider the trial, and when you go through something, even just to a degree, you know, like Job, where, you know, you're going through that and God has removed things, really, you can see that the worst part of the trial was that God wasn't speaking to Job. All right, Job could go through a lot, but the hardest thing you can see as he's expressing his heart through that is that God wasn't speaking to him. He didn't have a word from God. He didn't have any direction. God was silent, and he was crying out for someone to intercede for him who could go to God and speak to him on his behalf, because God wasn't speaking to him. All he had was a thin cord of hope. And you know, of all the books in the Bible, other than Psalms speaks of hope the most, but the second book that speaks the most of hope is Job, because that's all he had. He didn't have faith in the situation because God wasn't speaking to him. And sometimes God doesn't speak, and all we have is that little thread, that cord of hope. But if we lay hold upon that hope, it's an anchor for us. You know, Joseph was another who hoped in God. He was a prisoner of hope, naturally and spiritually. You know, but in his deep trials, he was able to look above those trials and hope in the Lord. And, you know, that's important. That's so important for us, you know, because we think of all the unrest in the world and the difficulties and the trials. And, you know, we're hearing people ask, you know, why does God allow such tragedy in the world? And, you know, the answer is we don't know everything that's involved. We don't know how God is working in a situation. But what we do know is that we can hope in God. When we don't understand what's going on, when we, you know, go through the difficulties and the tragedies of life, and then we're able to hope in the Lord, that will preserve us. Somehow, Joseph was able, even when his family sold him as a slave. You know, can you imagine experiencing that rejection from your family, being sold as a slave? And then, on top of that, God allowed him. And that could be the only reason in his heart and his mind he can understand. God allowed him to lose his position that he had obtained with Potiphar and be cast into prison. But even above all that, he was able to rise above, and instead of blaming God, he was able to hope in God. That's why Joseph is so remarkable. He was able to lay hold upon that hope that God is good and he's merciful and he has a plan for my life. And that hope delivered him. And that hope caused him to enter into what God had for him. And so if we can learn to do that, to lay hold upon the hope that's set before us, you know, and even in our confinements, when we're prisoners of that hope, it will preserve us. It will keep us. It will deliver us in the end. And there was a story I was reading about the lady named Corrie Ten Boom. You know, she was a prisoner at Ravensbrück, the woman's, not a concentration camp there. And so she had a great testimony about her life, about how the Lord delivered her. But I was reading about later on in life, in the 50s, she's traveled the world just ministering and sharing her testimony. But she said at one point the Lord led her to travel in the U.S. in the 50s. And traveling was a little different prospect way back in the 50s. I mean, it was a big deal. People didn't travel. And so she did that. She had very little money. She only had a few connections, a few names. And when she got there, she met the connections, and they didn't really have a lot of, there wasn't a big response to her and to her ministry and to her ministering. And so she was using up what money she had, and she shared with a little group here and there, you know, just little Sunday school meetings and different things. And people weren't really that interested in her testimony and what she had to say. And there was even people who were discouraging her, saying that she should go back to her homeland because she, you know, it wasn't right to be led by the Lord in such a way. People didn't do that, right? To be led by the Lord. But she was. And all she had was that hope that God was leading her. She didn't have a clear word. Just keep going. You know, keep trusting in the Lord. And so she just kept doing that. You know, the Lord would provide someone who would give her a room. And, you know, there would be little meetings that just kind of sustained her. Until one day the Lord spoke and he said, I'm going to take care of you and you are going to thank me for this trip. And when the Lord spoke that, a change started to take place. She met a Dutch pastor and they were very receptive of her. Of course, she was Dutch as well. And, you know, they knew what had happened there and they were very receptive of that. And then she got a contact to go to Washington, D.C. and there was even more. And she was speaking to many people. And she had many churches began to receive her, and she had an open door to go and preach. And it became a very fruitful trip. But, you know, it started off with her being a prisoner of hope. And she held on to that and wouldn't let go. She probably could have let go at that point and said, okay, I did my best. I came here. I trusted God. There were no open doors. And I guess if the Lord doesn't open a door, I should go home. But she held on because God had directed her heart, even though she didn't have a full direction. She just kept on trusting in the Lord. In the end, it was fruitful. And she shared this verse in Psalm 147 and verse 11. It says, the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Psalm 147, 11. The Lord takes pleasure in those that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. And that's why we want to be those who hope in God, and that even we'll allow ourselves to become prisoners of hope. Where, you know, a prison is a confining place where we can't go to the right or to the left, but we're just hoping that God is leading us in the right way. And we're trusting in who he is, even when he doesn't give us a clear word. This is the way, walk ye in it. But we're just trusting in him. We're hoping in him. But, you know, when we do that, it's almost a higher walk than walking by faith. Now, understand what I mean. We're called to walk by faith, not by sight. But yet, sometimes we don't even have faith. We only have hope. And so we have to walk and hold on to that cord as the Lord is, you know, leading us. You know, he's leading us, you know, and we're being led by the Spirit, but just by a cord of hope. But that, it's as if that opens the heart of God. He takes pleasure in those who fear him and they hope in his mercy. You know, because, and that will bring us within the veil, into his presence. You know, if we can learn to look above our circumstances, to let go of our own expectations, and to place them in the Lord, we won't be disappointed. There's many people that are disappointed in life. Disappointed because they had their own hopes and dreams. But, you know, our own hopes and dreams will always disappoint us. And that's the thing. If we will let the Lord direct us and we'll start to place our hope in what he has. Of course, we have to ask him, Lord, what do you want for me? What do you have for me? Direct me. Speak to me. Give me hope. And the Lord will place that hope in our hearts. And at times, the path might become very narrow and confining, but in the end, we won't be disappointed. We won't be ashamed. And Father, we thank you that you're the God of hope. You're the God of all comfort and consolation, Lord, because that is the end to you, the pathway of hoping in you. And Father, we just ask that you would, Lord, cause us to enter into this to more fully enter into this pathway, Lord, of hoping in you, and even going through that season where we're prisoners of hope and trusting in you, because, Lord, we know that the end of that hope will be satisfaction, will be joy, will be gladness, because we've held on to you. Lord, just give us faith to believe in you. Lord, give us, Lord, that heart that will look for that which is not seen and will hold on and lay hold of the hope. Lord, cause your hope to be an anchor for our soul and to keep us in your pathway, we pray. Lord, especially in these days when we just see the darkness arising and the fear on every side, Lord, teach us to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, Lord, that we can have that assurance and that protection in you, we ask. And we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.